We'll start off this morning by singing a song. It's going to be a blessing for us all here. You're welcome to help us sing if you want to. As well as listen.
The Lord of hosts is mighty to me. This is my fear. The Lord is mighty to me.
It's a real blessing to be able to share the gospel with everyone this morning. It is a bit different. I guess I'm very much missing everyone, and I know there's various ones are going to be able to see me here this morning. Others only going to be able to listen to me, but I've been... as the days and weeks have rolled on by, and I don't know, just family after family, I'm missing all of you a lot. So I want you to know that I'm missing you, and I know all of us are missing the opportunity to get together. So thank you for joining us this morning. Thank you for listening. Trust, pray for me as I share. I trust it can be a blessing. I did put a little title to what I have here to share this morning is simply, how should we respond to coronavirus? And it's maybe everyone's been hearing recently is about coronavirus. But I'd like for us to consider some of the things that we I believe, ought to be considering during this time. But before we start, let's just bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we do call upon you in the name of Jesus Christ. God, you know we're all of us just have a lot of needs. You know, all of us would desire to be together this morning and desire to sit, lift up our hearts, our voices, and sing together. Lord, we desire to be together as brothers and sisters in fellowship. But Lord, you know all about the things that have fallen upon the world today, coronavirus and everything that's happening. God, I would just ask in Jesus' name that this time that I share, preach this morning, our hearts could be lifted up, could be drawn towards you. God, would you come down? Lord, you know where everyone is sitting that's listening to my voice, that's listening to the preaching. You know where everyone is. And I would just ask, come and meet with us this morning. Would you, by your Holy Spirit, draw our hearts to you? We desire to be in tune with you, Lord. We desire, Lord, to draw nigh to you. So we just ask that you'd help us in that endeavor. For this privilege and opportunity, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You know, the Bible says, it talks about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And I think all of us have been experiencing a bit of that in these last couple weeks. But we've not been able to come together as brethren. As a church, we haven't been able to do that. and it's been affecting us. And I guess I'd just like to recognize that. I trust that in the middle of all this, we are personally drawing nigh to God, and he's drawing nigh to us. But we need each other, don't we? We need each other. We really do. Hebrews says, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So much the more as ye see the day approaching. So I guess all that to say is once we're through everything, let's just put special effort to just draw together even more as we put these things aside. Okay, how should we respond to coronavirus? And I'll maybe start in with that, but I guess there's other things that I have on my mind as I put this title out, beyond just the virus that's going on. There's a lot of people that are asking questions. What's happening on the big picture with the whole coronavirus? What is it? Why is the government shutting everything down the way it is? There's lots of questions that people are asking. 5 weeks ago, I would have never dreamed that all across the country, most of the restaurants are closed. Most of the furniture stores are closed. Here locally, most of the fabric stores are closed. My wife can't even go and buy material to buy a dress at the local fabric stores. Who would have thought that there's such a mad rush for toilet paper? Who would have thought that there's such a mad rush for food? They say that food, just the raw beef, all those kind of foods, people are filling their refrigerators, their freezers, they're stockpiling. What they're saying, the sales is more than double to what it was a year ago. Who would have thought all that? In fact, just a week prior to it shutting down, I had heard about the virus. I'd heard about coronavirus, but I had no idea of how it was going to. But things have happened very quickly. So it makes me wonder what the future holds. I look into the future and it makes me ask questions. What does the future hold? Who would have thought that everything would shut down in the way that it did? Business is shut down. I can't ship any furniture. There's no orders coming in. Everything's shut off. People aren't buying. They can't buy. The socializing, all those type of things is simply shut down. Who would have thought that over the whole world, air travel would drop less than half of where it's been? Who would have thought all that? Most certainly not me. But I guess as I think about all that, the more I've been considering the things that have been happening, I step back and I realize that the world we're living in and the things that are happening to us here today, we have been living with much, what I'm going to say, much freedom, much affluence. We've been able to do the things, largely do the things we want to. But I'd like to just say, life as we know it, there's a day coming when this coronavirus will look like nothing. It will look like nothing. And I know as a little boy growing up, I would often look in the future and I think about what all is coming, what's coming, and we don't know. At one point, I didn't think I was ever going to get married because the Lord was going to return before I get married. Here I am. Lord's blessed us with a wonderful family and even a grandchild. We've been blessed in so many, many ways. But I look into the future, and I like to suggest that what we see today, the way everything is has shut down, this is nothing compared to what's coming. There's a couple questions before I go on down. I'd like to just address a couple things as the weeks have gone on by and we've stayed at home from church. There's a couple questions that have come. I don't want to spend much time with it, but I would like to maybe just answer these questions. There are some people that ask the question, so what right does the government have to tell us to stay at home and not have church? That's a question that comes at times. Shouldn't we have church for right to tell us to stay at home? I'd like to just answer that in a very simple way. I'd like to suggest, first of all, that there's a day coming when they're going to tell us to not gather because of religious reasons. And when that happens, Scripture is very clear that we ought to obey God rather than man. So I'd like to suggest that it's very clear there's a day coming when we're asked, it's going to be like Peter and John and the apostles. When they gathered together and they were speaking and sharing the word, they were asked to be quiet. And they asked the question, shouldn't we obey God rather than man? And I believe there's a day coming that will be where we are. Today, with the coronavirus, it's not a religious issue. I don't view it as a religious issue. And so I do believe that there's a right place to respect our government with that. If they would be asking us to not go to church because of religious reasons, then I would say we need to obey what Scripture says. Here, as we look at this, what we're facing with the coronavirus, I think it's the right thing to give respect to our government with the virus. I do know that there's a lot of questions that come with that, but I do think it's the right thing, and I just like to give respect to that. I do realize that there's questions that can be asked. Are they overstepping their bounds? And there's lots of questions that can be asked. But listen to these verses in Romans chapter 13, verse 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained of God, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror of good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I like to just, in a very simple way, encourage us. I think with what we're facing, I think it's a right thing for us to give proper respect to what the government is asking. I do think it's right when we ought to obey God rather than man. Here's another question that comes is, with the coronavirus, aren't they taking measures that are a bit beyond what they should? And if it's beyond what they should we listen to it even then? But I like to say that I do believe this is a place where we can give respect to them. So let's do that. Okay, I'd like to move on and just say, what is God telling us? What is God saying? And, as we look at the broad picture, as we look at the whole world, is being affected by this coronavirus. I like to ask a question, what do you think God up in heaven is wanting us to think about? Many times we think about our work, we think about our money, we think about the things that are, all around us, and sometimes I believe we get very narrow focused. But the question comes in heaven, God Almighty, what message do you think he's trying to give to us? Are we listening? Are we listening? What do you think he's saying? Isn't that a good question to ask? What do you think God is saying? What is he saying? Well, there's various places that we could go with all that, but I would like to say, I'd like to suggest that he's putting out this cry that says, wake up. Wake up. Talking about waking up, this is past Saturday. My son Kennard, he has his girlfriend from way out in Indiana, and so she decided to come and surprise him. And guess what he was doing? He was sleeping. She purposefully came in from Indiana early while he was in bed, and he was in his bed sleeping, snoring. And as he was snoring, sleeping there, Martha and a couple of the children walked into the bedroom, and they called out his name. And when he called out his name, his eyes sort of opened, and he wasn't with it, and he sort of opened and closed. And all of a sudden, he woke up and he realized that his girlfriend is the end. There was a smile that came to his face, and there was a excitement that came, and he woke up. And I like to suggest that this is a time when God is wanting all of us to simply wake up. Look at the signs of the times. Look at the things that are going on the big picture. This is a time when we draw nigh to God. See, we don't know what all God has in store for us. He tells us some things in his word, and we'd like to take a look at some of those things here this morning. But he's wanting us to arouse from our sleep. He's wanting us to awake. He's wanting us to have a sense of what's going on about us. I believe God is saying, my children, can you just wake up? My children, look at the signs of the times. Can we discern the signs of the times? Matthew chapter 16, starting to read in verse 1, it says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came, and tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, can ye discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? You know, in the evening, when the sun is going down, and it's so nice and red in the west, we look at it and we say, oh, tomorrow's going to be a wonderful day. Tomorrow will be a beautiful day. But in the morning time in the east, when the sun comes up and it's all red, we look at it and we say, oh, there's foul weather coming. There's rain on the horizon. It's coming. And the Bible says that we can discern those things, but can't ye discern the signs of the times? Good question. So just considering the life that we're living right now, will it change? Will it change? Sometimes our family goes on a little vacation and we go to some remote place, to some little house or cabin, and we sit family time. We go out and we look, have some nature walks. We just spend time together. And as we do that, you know, the week wears on, we're gone for a week, and the week wears on, and toward the end of the week, we realize we have to go back to life, to real life, right? I like to suggest that that picture right there is a little bit like we have it right now. I like to suggest what we, where we're at right now. Business as normal, busyness as normal, being accepted in this local community. The people look at this Anabaptist community, and in many ways, they're accepting of us. But I'm going to suggest that some of those things are going to change. They will change. It won't always be that way. It will change. Change, the Bible says change will come. And I would like to just look at some of the change that has come. And I like for us to consider, there's various things that I want to move on down through for us to be considering. I'd like to suggest that there is lots of change coming, and one of these days, Christ is going to return. One of these days, there's going to be change, and things will not be the way they are. And I believe that there's many people that are maybe even listening to the sound of my voice here this morning that are not at a place where they have peace with God. When we talk about the change that's coming, there's fear. When we talk about the change that's coming, there's anxiety. And you know, as we look into the unknown, there's much anxiety there. And I like to suggest, I like to bring us to the place as a brotherhood where we look at our life and we ask ourselves a question, am I ready for the things that is coming my way? Am I ready to meet God? Am I ready to meet God? I'd like to just ask that question for us to consider very closely. In the book of Luke, it tells us of some of the things that are going to come. It says that there's going to be a tremendous deception is going to fall upon the people. Let me just tell you, there is a deception coming that's upon the whole world today. Most of the world, most of the population of the world God Almighty, the God of the Bible, they don't want to hear about God. They're deceived. They don't want to hear about God. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people who have even grown up reading the Bible who have become deceived. And they have walked away from obedience to God's word. Let me just tell you that the end times, in the end times, there's a great deception that's coming, not only on the whole world, but also on the people of God. Those that are going to be faithful are going to obey what the Bible says, and they'll walk with God in obedience. Here's some more things that are going to come. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be nation that will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That's something that has been happening and it'll continue to happen. There's going to be famines and there's going to be pestilences. In the United States of America, we have not had famines of that nature. There are various countries in the world today where there is famines. We know about them because we're connected with the rest of the world in a way that's unprecedented. A hundred years ago, the way the whole world is connected, we wouldn't have known if there's a famine in other parts of the world, but today we do. But there are famines today. And according to the Bible, there's going to be a lot more famines. Famines and pestilences. It says great earthquakes. You know, we have had some great earthquakes. Mine specifically goes to what there was in Haiti a number of years ago. That was a great earthquake. And the amount of people that were killed was phenomenal. There's other places like Iran. In various places around the world that there's been earthquakes. Here's another one. There's going to be fearful sights. Fearful sights. I don't know what he's referring to when he says there's going to be fearful sights. He does describe some. In the book of Revelation, he does describe how that there's mountains going to be cast into the sea, and there's going to be various wonders from heaven, and there's going to be fearful sights. Let me tell you, life as we know it today will not always be that way. Let me tell you that it will not always be that way. It says, great signs from heaven. Great signs from heaven. And then he goes on to say, and before these things, okay, before the tremendous deception, before the wars and rumors of wars, and prior to the nations rising against nations, famines and pestilence and fearful sights and great signs from heaven, prior to these things, listen to this. It says that they are going to lay hands on you and you are going to be persecuted. There's places around the world today that if you believe on Jesus Christ, you believe the Bible, you walk in faithfulness to God, you are persecuted. In America, it's not that way. There is a growing move against Christianity today. I think all of us would acknowledge that there's been a move from just a totally open freedom in America to a place where Christianity is disdained. There's a move, there's change coming. And there's a growing animosity toward Christianity. Now, the Bible says that you're going to be brought into synagogues and you're going to be thrown into prisons and you're going to be brought before rulers. It says that you're going to be betrayed by your parents. You're going to be betrayed by your brethren, your kinfolk, and your friends, and some shall even be put to death. And it says, ye shall be hated of all men. In America, in this local community, in the Anabaptist community, today, there is still a bit of favor there. But let me tell you, that will change according to what the Bible says. That's going to change. That will change. According to Luke chapter 21, verse 12 to 17. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. So what about us? How should we be thinking when we think coronavirus? You know what I think? I don't think coronavirus is really that bad. Now, I think it is, if I say it's not that bad, let me tell you what I mean by that. Coronavirus is nothing compared to the things that we're going to face. But God is allowing it to come to say, my people, are you awake? My people, are you listening to me? My people, are you drawing nigh to me? It's not just life as it's always been. My people, draw nigh to me. Coronavirus is nothing compared to what's coming. So what's God saying? He's saying, come. Come, just draw nigh to me. Come, turn away from your own way. Come, obey the word of God. Come, draw nigh to me. It's amazing. I have another heading here that says men's hearts failing them for fear. Men's hearts failing them for fear. I'm amazed at the control that the media has over this whole coronavirus thing. I'm amazed. I'm amazed at how people listen to the news. And they come to a state of fear and panic, and they, we are to stay in our houses, right? We are to, be careful, social distancing and all that. But not only are they doing what the government says, we ought to be doing that, right? But there's a fear that's rising up within the hearts of people of dread. And this verse where it says, men's hearts failing them, it's happening even in this scenario. And this is nothing compared to what's coming yet. Men's hearts failing them. Luke 21, verse 25 to 26 says, and there shall be signs in the sun, in the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Distress of nations. I think there's a bit of that right now. Distress of nations. Distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Have another heading here that says, be not terrified. Be not terrified. So, I'm not sure how to communicate what I want to say here. But for those of us who are at peace with God, God wants us to just draw nigh, to be not terrified, to find a rest. Because God's with us, right? God's with us. Put away the fear. Just draw nigh to God. But I'd like to also say that there's people who need to be terrified because God is coming. And when these things come upon us and we're not ready, it will be a terrifying time. And God's asking us to repent of our sins. God's asking us to turn away from our own way and to believe in Jesus Christ. The more things that are coming. It says here in Luke verse 21, verse 9, but when ye shall hear of wars and rumors and commotions, be not terrified. Do we all get that? Be not terrified. Don't be terrified. Just rest. Why? Because God knows every hair. You know, got a couple in my head. I've got five up front here and a bunch more in the back. God knows everything about me. God's going to take care of me. And if I die, I'll just go be with him, right? If I die, if I'm killed, things happen, I'll just go be with him. Be not terrified. It says, when you shall hear of wars and rumors and commotions, be not terrified. For those things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. The second return. The second return of Christ. I remember over the years laying in my bed at night and just thinking about how it's going to be one day when Jesus comes back again. When he comes back again. Scripture tells us very clearly how he went. It tells us how the disciples were with him. And he walked up on Mount Olives. As he went up on Mount Olives, it says that all of a sudden, lifted off the earth. And he went, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And the Bible says that one day he's going to come again. And the Bible says there's going to be a loud shout. And the Lord Jesus is going to come in all his glory and his holy angels with him. And there's going to be this loud shout. And he'll return. And all of those who are ready to meet him will rise to meet him. Won't that be a wonderful day? But I also know that there's people that are listening to me this morning that are not ready to meet him. And when he comes with a shout, there's going to be a fear and there's going to be a dread and a realization that I'm not right with God. There are sins between me and God, but the righteous will rise and go with him. He will return. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. As travail upon a woman with child. You ladies, identify with me on that one. When a woman comes to the place of birth, she's going to need to go through. And everything comes down to, it's time for the birth. And it's either, it'll happen. And there's as travail, like a woman at the place of birth. And there's, no way out. It's going to come. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye brethren are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. Be ready to meet God. Be ready to meet God. When I was a young man, about 15 years of age, actually maybe 17, 16 or 17, in our local community here, there's a young man by the name of Josiah. He's about my age. I got to know him. In fact, we went to music classes together. We, in our community here, there's a bunch of young men who got together to study music, learn to sing together, learn the notes, all those good things, learn music together. We learned music together. Yeah, we weren't just close friends, although we were friends. We were friends. Time went on, and he got married. He got married, and he had a couple of children. He ended up moving out of the local community, and he moved down to Kentucky, down to the state of Kentucky, moved down there. There in the local church, they ordained him as a preacher, and for a number of years, he was leading out in the church there in Kentucky. And hadn't seen him for quite some time, but I, knew him from years gone back. We spent time together. And him and one of his sons, they decided to go on a CAM project together. I believe it was down in North Carolina, South Carolina, some southern state there. They went on a CAM project together. That day, they were out working that day. Everything went as normal. And on the way home, he was in the passenger seat. And something happened. The driver lost control. The pickup truck moved off the road, and his driver's side hit a pole or a tree, either pole or tree, not sure which. Instantly killed. Boom. Gone. Gone. No return. No return. He's gone. He's over there. He's gone. No return. His wife, his children, they'll see him over there. But they'll never see him here on the earth anymore. He's gone. He's gone. But I used to know him. I used to know him well. I used to sit beside him. We'd sing together. But in an instant, boom, gone. No return. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, the Bible says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad." For him, it's no longer an option. For him, it's no longer an option to try to live a different life. It's no longer an option for him to draw nigh to God. I know him well enough. He was a God-fearing man. He loved God, and he was ready to die. And I have full confidence that he's with God today. But I'd like to ask us a question this morning. Are you ready to meet God? See, we drive down the road almost every day. We drive down the road in our cars. Or maybe we walk. Maybe other things other forms of transportation. And if you would be the one that would be in Josiah's place, would you be ready to meet God? Would you? You know, there might be some people listening to the sound of my voice this morning. There are some people who are listening to the sound of my voice that maybe even now God is knocking on your heart. And he's saying, "Would you please come? Would you please repent of your sins? You know, all those dark, ugly sins that you have done. Would you please come and repent, confess your sins, turn away from your sins?" Or maybe you're one of those that maybe you haven't done those big, ugly things, and yet you know before God Almighty that you're lost. You know that not everything is clear. You know that between you and God, there is this ceiling between you and God. You know that. Maybe you simply need conversion, where you come to God and you confess all your sins to God. And you make a choice and a decision to surrender your will. Confess your sins. Kneel before him. Yield every area of your life to God. Make a decision and a choice to obey God and follow him all the days of your life. Let me tell you, you don't know what you're going to face, but you might face some very, very difficult things in your lifetime. And a choice and a decision to make to serve God means I'm willing to follow him even if it means death. Repentance, confessing our sins, turning away from our own way, surrendering our whole will and life to God. God, I've hung on to these things, but I'm willing to just give it all to you. God, I'm willing to follow you. God, I'm willing to take the Bible and just do what it says. Even when I don't feel like it, I'm willing to make a choice and a decision. Maybe you're one of those who's simply lukewarm. Maybe you have made a decision to serve God, and yet there's so many things around you, so many things that have gotten your attention. You know, the Bible describes a lot of them. You know, it's... It's the money. It can be money. It can be the all the sin that surrounds us. As we see all that, we get lulled. Horrible things, and we really don't see them as wicked and horrible, and we start caving in, and accepting and doing things that we would have never thought we would ever do. You know, we have these little things called cell phones. And we have access, we have access to look at things. And you might even have some filters on your phone and different things. But maybe you're allowing yourself to read things and to do things, and you're justifying yourself that it's really not that bad. And there's a coolness that's coming into your life. Cooler and cooler. And the distance between you and God is getting bigger and bigger. And you're not aware of it. And yet, even this morning, as the word is being preached, you realize that God is calling you, and you realize that God is saying, come to me. You realize that God is saying, repent. Believe me. Obey the word of God. You know that. Maybe it's the love of money. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe there's relationships between you and other people that you know. You know, deep in your heart, God wants you to just release them. God wants you to forgive them. God wants you to just lay it all down. But you know, what they have done to you has been extremely hurtful. And you've nursed that pain. You've nursed those things in your heart. You have allowed those things to get bigger and bigger. And let me tell you, the Bible says if we don't forgive others, neither will he forgive us. Not only will he not forgive us, but he's going to, according to his word, he's going to bring all those past sins, he'll bring them all back. If we don't forgive our brother their trespasses. Matthew chapter 18. So we look at the title, how should we In a very simple way, I'd like to just suggest here this morning that God is allowing this to happen across the whole world, across all these different countries. God is allowing these things to happen. And I'm going to suggest that this is nothing compared to what's coming yet. God is allowing this to come because he would like for us to simply turn our eyes and our gaze on Jesus Christ. He wants us to draw nigh to him. He wants to wake us up. He wants to wake us up. He's saying, Mark. He's saying, Mark, would you draw nigh to me? Mark, you know, you've been a bit entangled. Would you just make some changes in your lifestyle? He's saying, young man, he's saying, I'm knocking on your heart. You're the place where you need to yield everything to God. He's doing that, and he's looking across the whole world. But most of the people in America, most of the people across the whole world, most of the people will not open their hearts to God. My question is, will you? Will you? Will you open your heart to God, and will you draw nigh to God? Because we don't know when your name is going to be Josiah and you will be wrapped, the car is going to be wrapped around the tree. Or maybe you'll be walking beside the road and a car will hit you. Or you'll be laying on your bed and you won't wake up. When that happens, are you ready? Are you ready? That's my question is, are you ready to meet God? This morning, are you ready to meet God? If you're not, make a decision. I'd like to just encourage all of us this morning. The Bible says, today is the day of salvation. Today is a right now, you've heard the word of God being preached. Are you going to make a decision and a choice to follow Jesus today? There's many that have said, I'll wait till later. And that later never came. It never came. One day in hell, they'll open their eyes in anguish and they'll look back and they'll remember the word of God being preached and they'll remember their hearts being pricked and there's going to be a wail and a cry saying, why didn't I yield my heart to God when I had the opportunity? But right now, you have got that opportunity. Let me just encourage you. Do whatever it takes to get right with God. Lord bless you all.